And then verse 7, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the fault-finding of the children of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the proof, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 381, Open My Eyes That I Might See. You please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. God of endless renewal, God who calls us to life restored, God who rescues the lost and saves the afflicted. There are times when we grow confused. We struggle to know what to do, or worse, we know what needs to be done and find it easier to stay on the wrong path. Hear us as we spend a few moments of silent prayer and reflection, Holy Father. Hear us as we pray. Forgive us for failing to heed opportunities and follow a better way. Remind us that you stand more ready to forgive than we are to confess those aspects of our lives that stand in need of your grace. And thus forgiven, help us to lean into what you would teach us about we are to be. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Thank you. Please be seated. We're reminded what our Lord Jesus Christ has said when he spoke these words: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like to it: you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Now, we haven't done this for a while, but I would invite you to meet your neighbor. So if you look to your right and to your left, if you look in front of you and behind you, now behind you is that quilt, you know. that's not all of your neighbors. Your neighbor and my neighbor are those that we meet when we leave this building, regardless of where we go. That's our neighbor. All right. Our words of assurance this morning will come to us from Psalm number 95. God bless you. Thank you.
Oh, let us come. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand there are depths of the earth. He, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his for he made it. For his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you were hearken to his voice.
Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me and put me to the proof, though they hadn't seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in heart, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, I sworn in my anger that they should not enter my rest.
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. I love it when our young people read the scriptures. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job they do. And I love it when our older people read scripture as well. Something about the young. Just love to hear their voices. Thank you, Mom and Dad, Grandma, for bringing them and that they're here. Well, right now, our ministry of music before the throne of God above. Thank you, friend, before the throne of God above. I'm going to date myself here for just a little bit, but I remember growing up in school where we had show and tell. I don't know if we still have that nowadays or not, do we? Every now and then you have to bring things. And so I brought something today to show and tell. My little ring that I wear. During Lent season. I started to wear this on Ash Wednesday, and I plan to continue to wear it up until Easter Sunday. And that's typical for me because, if you know, every now and then I have a different ring on because I just love rings. So they're not expensive rings at all. I don't even worry about people coming to take them because $60 here, $60 you can have. This one I wear, if you notice, it's in a cross, and the cross is empty. And when I think about the Lenten season, when I was growing up, we didn't celebrate Lent, but when I heard about it, I didn't understand what Lent was. I thought, first of all, it was stuff that's on our clothes. And here in the parrot, that's what you hear. But Lent is a time of 40 days of reflection, repentance, restoration, restore. And for me, one of my Lenten journeys this year is to be reminded that when I put this on my finger and I look at the cross, I see my finger. My skin. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, it was for me because of my sin, my wrongdoings. And I have to repent for those. And so Lent is not just a time that I just give up something to drink or something to eat or some habit and all the rest. And if we do that, that's great, that's fine. But Lent is also when I look at the cross and I see me. I see why Jesus had to die on the cross was for me.
to our next hymn, we'll pray. We're able to stand and invite us to do so. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father God, how grateful you are, we are that you hide us in the cleft of the rock at times, and you cover us there with the graciousness of your hand. Thank you for your word. We ask that you might bless it to our hearing, and may we be reminded of a way that you touched a life, one whom we call a Samaritan woman, and so changed not only her life and others, but ours as well. We ask your blessing upon this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. I realize our scripture is a lengthy one this morning, John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. Our young people went downstairs, otherwise I'll ask them to come up and read it. They do so well with that. John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to pass through Samaria, and as he came to a city of Samaria, called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that's noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, who it was said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his well and the cattle, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, his sons, and his cattle?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. For whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water, that I might not thirst and come to here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, and the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will show us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But none said, "Why do you wish, or why are you talking? What do you wish, or why are you talking with her?" So the Samaritan woman left her water jar and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, see a man who taught me everything that I did. Can this be the Christ?" And they went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat which you do not know." So the disciples said one to the other, "Has anyone brought him food?" Jesus said to him, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and accomplished his work. Do not say, 'There are four months and then comes the harvest.' I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest.
He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. And I sent you to reap that for which you do not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. And then verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed in him because of his word. Verse 42 as the last. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. The Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman. What a story. What a story that when you peel back the pages of history, we see a culture that, sad to say, is not unlike ours today. Back in those days, the Jewish people had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And likewise, the Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews, Jewish people. They considered themselves, the Jewish people, God's chosen and God's special people. And if there was a group of people that they fought against and strived against so viciously, it was the Samaritans. As a matter of fact, in order to go from Judah to Jerusalem, one of the quickest routes was to go through Samaria. But they so despised those people, there you go, those people, that they were bypassing and would go around. And then there was something else about this story that seemed to be fantastic. There was a division between women and men, that Jewish men, particularly a rabbi, unmarried rabbi, would never be seen in public talking to a woman that wasn't his wife. Matter of fact, he wouldn't even talk to his wife. They would just communicate at home. But it was taboo to talk to a woman. We live in a world today where certain groups of people are not accepted or received and called down upon. So when I read this story, I'm fascinated at the disciples' response. The Bible tells us that as Jesus was tired in his journey, and I won't recount all of the story, you've heard it there, that Jesus rested at Jacob's well and he was thirsty. He was also hungry. The disciples said, we're going to go back to Sychar and we're going to buy you something to eat. Now, Sychar from Samaria was about 11 to 12 kilometers. That's about 7 miles. It would take you back in those days, if you were walking, particularly some of the pathways you would go, it would take you between 3 to 4 hours to go, to journey in that distance. 3 to 4 hours going there, and then 3 to 4 hours coming back. I'll tell you how long Jesus talked with that woman. And he spent time talking with her. And by the way, she was surprised that Jesus was talking to her. Notice her response, how are you, a Jewish man, talking to me, who's Samaritan? Now, how in the world did she know that he was Jewish? Yeah, I doubt he wore any type of sign that says I'm Jewish. It's probably the way he looked. It probably was the way he dressed. It probably was the way culture taught them of strangers or someone who looked different. Whatever it was, she said, you shouldn't be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan woman. And I love what Jesus said to her. I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink. That's something I noticed about this text. The text does not say that Jesus had a cup with him. It doesn't say that he looked around and saw a jar somewhere and said, fill this up with water. It seems to me that he was willing to drink from her cup. He was willing to drink from what she had. Oh, the love of our God. And the Samaritan woman said, I don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus said, you know what? If you drink from the water that I have, you will not thirst again. You'll have living water. He's talking about the presence of the Spirit within her. But she thought he was talking about physically water. You see, she came around about noon time. And the reason she came at noon time was she had a certain reputation, put it mildly. She had a certain reputation. And anytime she went to the watering hole or to draw water, people would gossip about her. And so she got so sick and tired of all the gossip and all the finger pointing, all that, she decided she's going to go when nobody else is there, about noontime. Real hot out there. Oh, it's so nice to see the sun. Good night in the morning. See y'all later. No. High noon out there, and it's hot, and nobody else is around, so she's thinking nobody's going to be here. And Jesus comes. And she says, give me some of that water to drink. Now notice this next part I'm fascinated by. Because Jesus asked her a question. He said, go call your hubby. Now every now and then Jesus comes up with words that you think, where in the world did that come from? Nobody was talking about husbands and wives. Why in the world would he say that? And I kind of imagine she kind of ducked her head a little bit and said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right when you say you don't have a husband. You have five. And the person you're with is not your husband. Boosh. Can you imagine the embarrassment? But I was kind of fascinated by that word five. You see, the Samaritans, I'm about to sneeze, excuse me. Okay, it's going to sneak back up again. The Samaritans have five different deities, five different gods. And at first, when I looked at this passage, I thought, well, Jesus, that's kind of cold that you're going to kind of embarrass her that way and say you have five husbands and make her feel bad. But she also had five different religions that they were trying to seek God. And Jesus said, there's only one God, that when you worship him in spirit and in truth, it's not either even in Jerusalem or and where they were. God is spirit. That means we can worship God where we are. How wonderful that is. And then the Bible said, and by the way, the gods that they had was a God that was the Sakoth Benoth God, Nagal God, the God of war. A third one was Ashma, was a storm god, a deity. Whenever there was a big old storm, that was a god that they worshipped. There was another one called Nibhaz, that was a donkey, dog-headed figure, and a horse deities of various different cultures. Weird looking. And then the last one was the God of fire, King of fire. You might remember Elijah on the Mount of Baal. And that was one of the gods that they worshiped, came from that, the God of fire. And a Moloch, which is a horrible deity, a god that people would sacrifice their children. And Moloch was a molten god that had an arm stretched out this way, and his mouth was open, and it was a furnace, and they would put their children on that those arms and then roll them right down and burn the children alive. How horrible those types of deities are. And Jesus said, you had five. Samaritans had five. And yet Jesus says, if you drink of the water that I have, you will never thirst again. One of the wonderful things as I close this morning that I love about this passage is the response of the woman. She went back to town and said, meet a man. I really met a man that changed my life. And I can imagine that some of them say, yeah, what's different? You met many a man. But there was something about how she described Jesus that caused the town to come back and want to know about him. You and I do the same thing, don't we? We leave our places of worship, we leave our times of devotion, and we come across people that we know and love. We say, come meet someone who transformed my life. And they will want to know the same Jesus. The disciples came back, and as they came back, they saw Jesus talking to a woman. You know how people kind of murmur and gossip and say mean things and horrible things? They were doing it, but they didn't say it out loud. They were thinking, look at Jesus talking to a woman. What in the world is he doing? I could ruin his testimony. But none of them would say anything about it. They walked for 3 hours, 6 hours, to give him some McDonald's, Big Mac, and Whopper and fries, and fish fillet, Coca-Cola. And he said, I'm not hungry anymore. Say what? I walk all these miles, you're not hungry, Jesus said. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Beloved, we're fixing to leave here in just a little bit after communion and the rest. And we have eaten together the word of God. That's our sustenance. And our food is to leave this place and meet our neighbors and to share with them. Come meet someone who has changed my life, who makes a difference for wherever we are. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable grace. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that in your love for all people, this story that still stands as a monument of your grace. And speaking to someone who Coulter said was a nobody, people talked about, despised, teased, looked over, but you look right through and into her heart and her soul and saw in need. Thank you, Holy Father, that you looked into our heart and our souls as well and saw a need. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'm invited us to take our hymnals, please, as we prepare for communion. To 188, we'll sing the first and the last verse only at the cross. I invite our elders and our deacons to gather.
Save. but say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he arose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and his Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Holy Supper which we're about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance our Lord Jesus Christ was sent with the Father into the world to assume our flesh and our blood and to fulfill for us all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted of him and never forsaken by God. And then we come to have communion with the same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us into the life eternal. In a cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. And then we come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a foretaste of the feast of love in which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come. When with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like unto him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has obtained for us a life-giving spirit, he unites us all in one body. So we're to receive this supper of true love, mindful of the communion of the saints. All who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who have expressed their love for Jesus within the fellowship of the church, are welcomed. Let us pray. Holy and right is it, and our joyful duty to give thanks to you, O Lord our Creator, almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts, and earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being and preserved us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love by sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For this precious gift of this mighty Savior who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. With your whole church on earth and with all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross for our Lord Jesus Christ and the sins of the whole world. With the joy of your resurrection and the expectation of your coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break and the cup which we bless may be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that by being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things in Christ our Lord. As this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, these grapes from many hills into one cup. Grant, O Lord, that the whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it as often as you remember me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the bread that reminds us of the precious body of Christ offered on the cross for our redemption. We ask your blessing upon this bread that it might be for us the communion of the body of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
thank you also for the cup that reminds us of the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our redemption. We're saved today because of the blood of Christ. We ask your blessing upon this cup that it might be for us the communion of the blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. thank you and praise you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let us pass the peace. Let us go through the loop. I'm sorry. Did you have me? Oh, see, that word for me. Don't even scratch, because I might talk to them. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you that we can gather together after having been fed at your table. We ask, Father, your blessing upon these that we've mentioned. We think of Christie's mother, and the big father of my friend Patty. We think of father of Jax. I think of Georgia's mother. Father, I think of many who are away from us because of the illnesses and sicknesses. Be present with them. Pray, Father, for all places of war and strife that's happening around us. And even though we are not hearing the cries of anguish, and the bombs and the sirens, they are. And we pray for every mother, every father, every brother, every sister, every cousin who mourns the death of loved ones. We pray for our leaders, may they look to you for wisdom, discernment, and grace as they govern your people. We pray that on these Lenten days, we, your people, might hear your voice as you speak to us in particular ways. We pray for peace in our lands. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, we ask, Holy Father, that you would hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us and we invite you to do so. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace.